For catechesis this morning, we are on the close of the commandments, page 322, if you need it. What does God say about all these commandments?
He says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to the thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
What does this mean?
God threatens to punish all who break these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against them. But he promises grace and ever blessing to all who keep these commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and gladly do what he commands.
What we call the appendix to the first commandment, or the conclusion of the commandments, or as it's called here, the close of the commandments, comes, as you see indicated there, from Exodus chapter 20. You can also find it in Deuteronomy chapter 5. This past October, I did a paper for the Dallas Fort Worth Study Group on this text and the text of the Large Catechism on this passage. And here's an example of where you all benefit from my having done that paper, because now I can talk to you a little bit more informed about it than I would have been before I did it. So one of the things that we know here is that it is, in the text of the Holy Scripture, attached to the first commandment. But right away, God says, all my commandments, right? He speaks about the plural commandments. So he doesn't only mean this to be understood in light of the first commandment, but he needs it to be understood in light of commandments 2 through 10, which follow in the text of both Exodus and Deuteronomy. So it applies to all the commandments, even though it's attached more so to the first. Here in the Small Catechism, we have it at the end, which is a good place for it in light of all 10 of the commandments. We note that there is threat of punishment and promise of blessing. And we note that we are to fear and to love, as well as trust. And so we normally associate the fear with the threat, and the love and trust with the promise of the blessing. And yet, the Large Catechism can talk a little bit, at least, about fear also as reverence. It isn't just terror of punishment, but it is a right respect or a right reverence for God. So when we say we should fear and love God so that we do not, whatever the next commandment is, that fear is both being afraid of punishment, but it is also a right regard for who God is. And that goes hand in hand with the love and the trust. Because we know who God is, we know that he's going to be able to fulfill these promises that he gives us. Ultimately, of course, that fear of punishment should help lead us to repent. And so we live our whole lives in repentance over failing to keep the commandments as we should, but also trusting God to forgive us for Jesus' sake and give us the grace and blessing. Not because we earn it. And we have to be careful here with both the text from Exodus and Luther's explanation, which could easily be misread as saying that somehow we earn it. God promises grace and every blessing to all who keep these commandments. So, you know, Pastor Adler can't sit up here and think, well, hey, I keep these commandments, therefore I'm going to get grace and every blessing, right? He doesn't think that, but he can't think that because he knows better. But he also, as the teaching of Holy Scripture is clear, the grace and blessings come because of who God is and what Christ has done, not because of anything that we do. So we still try to keep the commandments as fruit of our faith, but we don't merit the grace and blessing because we try to keep the commandments. Other comments, questions on the close? All right. The preparation for 71 is on page 151. I invite you to turn there and please stand. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Sunday in Advent. The appointed Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, the 35th chapter. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob.
Whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes,
in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth.
On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob.
Whose hope is in the Lord his God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them,
who keeps faith forever,
who executes justice for the oppressed,
who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
presence over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless.
But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever.
Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord his God.
The epistle reading is from James, the fifth chapter. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
This is the gospel of the Lord.
Remain standing, if you're able, for the singing of the hymn of the day, 345.
children of the day. Startled at a solemn morning, let the earth-bound soul arise. Christ is Son, all sloth dispelling, shines upon the morning skies. See the Lamb so long expected, comes with ardent down from heaven. Let us waste with tears of sorrow, what and all to be forgiven. So when next he comes in glory, and the world is wrapped in fear, he will shield us with his mercy, and with words of love draw near. Honor, glory, might, dominion to the Father and the Son.
Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The pink or rose-colored candle on the Advent wreath, banner, and bulletin covers, and paraments, if we had them, tell you that there is something different about today from the other blue Sundays of Advent. Today, the third Sunday in Advent, traditionally is called Gaudete, the first word of the historic introit for the day, which Latin word in English means rejoice. That emphasis was introduced as our entrance hymn sang of a glad sound connected to the various wonderful things that the Savior does, though that hymn text is said to be based on passages other than today's Old Testament reading, which seems to be referenced in today's Gospel reading. That Old Testament reading says that the desert will rejoice with joy and singing, that the tongue of the mute will sing for joy, and that everlasting joy will be upon the heads of the ransomed of the Lord, who will obtain gladness and joy. For all the joy-inducing deeds and words of the Christ, John the Baptizer in today's Gospel reading is not reported as rejoicing, but rather as asking through his disciples whether Jesus was the coming one or if they should look for another. Jesus' answer to John pointed to what Jesus was saying and doing. And Jesus told John and tells us that blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus. That much is clear, despite all the other things in today's Gospel reading that we may have some difficulty understanding. So primarily considering today's Gospel reading with the help of the Holy Spirit, this morning we direct our thoughts to the theme, blessed are the ones not offended by Jesus. To be sure, the divinely inspired St. Matthew's Gospel account does not explicitly say either what John's motive was for asking the questions that he asked or why Jesus responded with the reference to the specific Isaiah passage that he chose.
instead of one of the other similar passages from Isaiah that, like today's psalm, tell of the Messiah's setting the prisoners free, which might have had special relevance to John. Of course, John likely knew the psalm and the other Isaiah passages, even without Jesus' mentioning them. We do not know how long John had been in prison at this point, but we are told elsewhere that previously Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying that Herod couldn't have her as his wife. And we are told that ultimately Herodias prompted her daughter to ask Herod for John's head on a platter, and that Herod gave it to her. Nevertheless, the contrast is striking between John's knowing by divine revelation who Jesus was at the time of Jesus' baptism, earlier in St. Matthew's account, and John's at least asking whether Jesus was the coming one while John was waiting in prison in today's gospel reading. We also are waiting. We may be waiting for such things as our annual congregational Christmas party after this divine service. You may be waiting for a Christmas break from school or a Christmas vacation from work. We may be waiting for God to heal a loved one or ourselves. Or we may be waiting for the Lord's return or our own deaths, whichever come first. There is waiting that is relatively limited, waiting that goes on longer, and waiting that only seems as if it will never end. There are many forms and various kinds of waiting. Some are easier than others. We may not be waiting in prison, but while we wait, we have other stressors, such as coping with the situations in the world and the country, being concerned about pilgrims' facilities and future, getting our families ready for Christmas, and making our family or personal finances work. We might wrongly expect that what we consider to be our faithfulness somehow should earn various blessings here and now. As John the Baptizer's waiting led him, so our waiting can lead us to question what we have otherwise believed and known to be true. For example, we might ask, does my suffering really have a good purpose? Does God really love and forgive me? Is God really all-powerful? Does God even exist at all? Even though God does not give offense, as we might think of it, Jesus and the way that he works can be an occasion for us to take offense at him, to stumble, to fall into sin, and to even fall from faith. Our discouragement and our doubt can be a snare for us, as atheists cannot reconcile a loving and all-powerful God with the existence of suffering in the world. As God prophesied elsewhere through Isaiah, the Lord is both a rock of stumbling, a trap, and a snare to those who reject the Holy Spirit by not repenting and believing in the Lord. And the Lord also is a sanctuary to those whom the Holy Spirit leads to repent and believe in him. as we heard in today's gospel reading, with the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the poor have preached to them the good news. Those humbled by God's law, who are contrite and brokenhearted, have preached to them the gospel of the free forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake. The Son of God in human flesh, Jesus is the long-awaited Savior, who today's Old Testament reading said would say and do all those joy-inducing things when he came and saved. And so Jesus did say and do, and does say and do. Jesus' divine nature worked and works through Jesus' human nature to do and say those things. Out of God's love for even this fallen world, Jesus died on the cross for us in our place, the death that we deserved. And Jesus not only raised up others who were dead, but also raised up himself. Christ crucified is a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But for us who are called out from among them, Christ crucified is the power of God unto salvation. God forgives and so saves us by grace for Jesus' sake through faith. We are called, saved, strengthened in our faith by the Holy Spirit working through God's word and sacraments. In today's gospel reading, John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, and then Jesus tells John's disciples to tell John what they heard Jesus say and saw Jesus do. There may have been a little difference between the initial and subsequent reports to John. And like John, we need to hear God's same word again and again. Not just ourselves remembering what it says, but our hearing God's word from outside of ourselves. So our pastors read and preach God's word to groups like this group. And they apply God's gospel to individuals with water in holy baptism, with touch in holy absolution, and with the bread and wine of the Holy Supper that are the body of Christ given for us and the blood of Christ shed for us. And so give us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Jesus' teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood was a stumbling block for some of those who at one time were following him. They took offense at it, turned back, and no longer walked with him. But with Jesus' closest disciples, we know that there is no place else for us to go. For as we sang in the Alleluia in verse, Jesus has the words of eternal life. We can know that such things are true, but still have questions about them. In some sense, there can be what we might call benefits to our doubts. Like the man whose son was seized by a spirit that made the boy mute, we who are at the same time both justified and still sinful, both confess our belief and pray for the Lord to help our unbelief. And the Lord hears and answers our prayers, confirming and strengthening our faith through his word and sacraments. As in today's Old Testament reading, the tongue of the mute sing for joy. We seek, receive, and believe what answers there are for us. As God draws us closer to him, we are better off for the struggle. We become more sure that God does exist, that he is all-powerful, that he does love and forgive us, and that our suffering really has a good purpose. As St. James exhorts us in today's epistle reading, we are patient, both in our suffering and waiting for the final coming of the Lord. And as St. Paul exhorts us from prison, no less, we can and do rejoice in the Lord always, even in our suffering. The pink or rose-colored candle, banner, and bulletin covers remind us, to paraphrase today's collect of the day, that the Lord lightens the darkness of our hearts by his gracious visitation. Though on account of our sinful nature and actual sin, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, God, by his Holy Spirit, leads us to repent and believe, and thereby he forgives us for his Son's sake. Truly, blessed are the ones not offended by Jesus. Am I try that again? Truly blessed are the ones not offended by Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. With joy and thanksgiving for God's love in sending his Son to die for us, and his Holy Spirit to lead us to repent and believe, for us and all who believe, that we faithfully might receive God's forgiveness through his word and sacraments, do the good works of his commandments in keeping with our vocations in life, and always rejoice, even in suffering, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church on earth, that she would be patient until the coming of the Lord. For those persecuted for their true faith in Jesus, that they would be faithful even unto death. For the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, pastors and people together, that those with oversight would hold those under their authority to their commitments to Holy Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. For Lutherans for Life, to equip more Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. And with thanksgiving for the new roof, for this congregation, that absent members might return, our Sunday school prosper, and our offerings be more than sufficient for the work of God's kingdom in this place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For us and all the baptized, that we might not grumble against one another, and be patient in suffering, and strengthened against all temptation, especially those temptations to sexual sin and to despair, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have strayed from the faith and those who have never believed, that the Lord might use us to reach them and that they might hope in the Lord their God and be blessed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For favorable weather and for all those affected by drought, wildfires and their smoke, severe winter weather, flooding, earthquakes, and volcanoes, that they might be rescued, relieved, and restored, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country, especially for a functional federal government with civil relations with the states, for the safety of non-combatants in war zones, for all those who govern us on every level of government, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good work, for all people to be good citizens, and for all those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments, that they might be protected, upheld, and granted discernment, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Brady, David, Charles, and all who travel, whether for work or pleasure, by land, sea, or air, that their ways may be safe and their homecomings joyful, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that they may be comforted. For victims of violent crime, that they may feel safe again. For those imprisoned and their families, that they might have hope and patience. For those shut in and otherwise homebound, that God might be present with them where they are through his word and sacraments. For David, Lana, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, David, Gwen, Bob, Jim, Ann, Steve, and all those in need of healing, that God might deliver them from their afflictions in his way and time, and for all those who serve in medical professions, that they would have all necessary wisdom and skill, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, that God would meet their spiritual and material needs, for all expectant mothers, that God would bring them safely through delivery and their children to the waters of holy baptism. For all God's people, especially those without spouses and children, to be content in their circumstances. For us to better defend God's gift of human life from society's threats of abortion and assisted suicide. And for all schooling, that God would grant patience and focus in these final days before Christmas break. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With joy and thanksgiving for God's blessings of physical and spiritual life to Andrew and James, for them, that God would continue to grant them physical life according to his will, help them to remember and use their baptisms, and preserve them in their baptismal grace all the days of their lives, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you. in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, In giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
This is the body of Christ given for you. Amen. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen.
Christ given for you.
in body and soul, life and breath, and deeper in
thank you.
O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Service and soup and salad supper before it. So starting at 6 with the meal and 7 with the service. And thanks go to, okay, is it your week this week? Yes, for bringing it this week. Reminder also that next Sunday after church, we will place the greens for Christmas, which then, of course, will be Christmas Eve on Wednesday. If you are interested in the carols and candle service at First Presbyterian next Wednesday, or next Sunday, rather, I mentioned that really for the 30 minutes of pipeline music that precedes the service. The Dallas Grunk, the organist there, plays lovely music on the pipe organ, including usually there's a Bach piece in there. So if you like listening to the pipe organ, you can sneak in there, you can leave probably before the service starts if you just want to hear the pipe organ. It might be best. In the past, when Reverend Wilson was the pastor there and I translated Greek with him, I usually stuck around to listen to a sermon, didn't receive feedback because you knew that he wanted it. He did. He was a homiletics PhD at Baylor. He wanted the feedback on the preaching. Joy is skeptical. Anyway, any other announcements? Look forward to greeting you all at the door and seeing you next door for lunch.